Welcome to the Diversity on the Hill podcast
with Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Curcio.
Here are the ground rules for our conversation.
Respect one another.
Openness.
No assumptions allowed.
Mistakes are welcome.
And let's grow together.
Enjoy the conversation.
Happy New Year!
Oh, wow. I did it again.
Happy New Year. You were laughing at my Happy New Year.
I was laughing at the Happy New Year first. But happy 2024. How about it?
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're not there yet.
2 or 3 days away.
That's it.
2 or 3 days away from a Happy New Year.
Oh, wow. So sweet.
Hope you had a wonderful Christmas day.
Can you believe that we made it?
Wow.
To the end of 2023.
I want to know, does anyone think, did this year go slow? I want to know if anyone thinks if this year went slow.
No, not for me.
I mean, maybe.
There were parts of it that felt slow, but for the most part, it flew by.
I blinked and it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's serious. Like, I think somebody was making a joke that none of our cartoons or movies, like, reached this far almost. I think 2030... or 2034, something like that, was the actual date where our movies and our cartoons kind of projected that we're the future. And we're like almost 10 years away from what our cartoons would say was.
What our cartoons? Like what cartoons?
Like the Jetsons. Like,
was that 2023? When did the Jetsons take place?
No. I'm saying.
The Jetsons already took place.
No. Did they? Did the dates on the Jetsons end already?
I don't know.
I heard somebody talking about this, so don't quote me. I didn't go deep in investigating it. But a lot of the movies that projected things like in the future were like not beyond 2030 something. And here we are 10 years away, pretty much, of not even. We're like 6 years away from 2030.
No. Jetsons is 2062.
62? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, then I better check my sources. I would trust that somebody else's comments. We were talking about it. And I was like, really? That's crazy. But maybe they were talking about another movie. Who knows?
So the Jetsons still could technically happen. We could still live in high rises and drive little airplane-y spaceships.
Sure. Kind of like Star Wars.
Have robots. We might have robots as 30
years. They already have them in some places.
Do they really?
Some places, yeah.
No.
They do.
They don't have robots like the one in the Jetsons, though. That goes around your house and cleans things and cooks and does that kind of stuff. They have robots that vacuum, but it's a little round cylinder thing. One robot can do all of it like a maid.
I see. Okay, no, not like that yet.
Yeah.
We don't have that yet.
No.
Thank you, PJ.
I could talk to you.
I'm PK here. And we just want to say.
Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome to the Diversity on the Hill podcast. You're listening to us, PJ and PK.
Yep. No guests today.
And by the way, you can also reach out to us and tell us how wrong we are about certain things. At Instagram, at Diversity on a Hill with a C.
That's
and
right.
DiversityOnAHill@gmail.com.
With a C as well. Good job, man. Yeah, look at you, pro. Consummate pro.
Yeah.
So I would assume that you enjoyed your Christmas break, time with your family.
Yes, it's always good to be with the family.
Yeah. So we kind of diverted our plans, and we probably... initially said we weren't going to do anything, but we went and saw family nearby.
Aww.
Yeah, so it wasn't far. I mean, my parents live 2 hours away, so
it's
just for a day.
That's still nice.
It was just for a day.
Okay.
So it was just like, bam, bam, hit and run. But anywho, that was nice. And now I have a question.
Okay.
I know before we used to talk about how your mom used to give you peanuts.
Yeah.
So my question is,
yeah.
Did you receive peanuts?
So this year I was not with mom.
Oh, very true. She did go visit your brother in Ohio. That's right.
We wouldn't have gotten peanuts from her because there would be no gifts under the tree from her. She just gave us cash the last time I visited her to give
nice.
On Christmas.
So get this. I heard a story that I did want to share. It was very interesting. Of one of the members at our church, and he was dating his wife, right?
Okay.
He had just met the family, and it was around the holiday season for the first time. And one of the questions that was asked was if he liked, so they handed him a chocolate-covered cherry. And they were like, here, try this. And he did. And they were like, do you like it? And he was like, yeah, I do. Thank you. Just trying to be nice.
Okay.
Every single year after he dated and then married his wife. You know where this is going.
Yeah.
He got a box of chocolate-covered cherries.
And he didn't like them.
No. He would take them.
So to be kind the first time.
Yep. And he's just trying to be nice.
Right.
And he got them again for years, except 2 years ago, the grandmother passed away. So she
stopped getting them.
Stopped getting them 2 years ago. Yeah. But
wow. So is that a sad thing?
Yeah. To a degree. Yeah. That's kind of, he said, he's like, it's memorable for him. But what he would do is when he had his kids.
Would he have to eat one in front of them though? That would be the thing.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, oh, I love these.
Yeah. She wanted him to open it and eat one.
Oh, enjoy that.
So every single year for many years after that, he would have to eat
a chocolate covered cherry. Those chocolate covered cherries that come in those boxes are gross. Have you eaten them?
Why would I? I don't like chocolate. I like cherries.
That's true. I don't like chocolate,
so I'm not going to eat it.
Well, the worst part of those things isn't the chocolate. It's the cherries.
Really?
Oh, because it's the, you know, it's the kind of fake maraschino cherries.
Oh,
which
the ones that they use for like the ice cream sundaes.
Yeah, which have their place.
Sure.
But then they're like encased in like this juice. And it's the juice that's grossest terrible. Of them all.
Oh.
Like, it's the juice. Worst. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's the maraschino juice because, once again, maraschino juice has its place, but very rarely.
Yeah.
Right. But then they enwrap it in, this would really disgust you because it's wrapped with the chocolate, right?
Uh-huh.
And the chocolate kind of infuses its flavor in there and the cherry gets its flavor. And it's just, I don't know. It's really gross. Mm-hmm. And like the texture wise, I don't want to bite into a chocolate and get like a chewy and a juicy and like juice. I don't know.
Okay. So let me confess what happened.
Oh, okay.
So what ended up happening was I heard the story. Mm-hmm. And it was at a party that I heard about it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't fully understand the whole context. So when we had another party that he was at,
All right, hold on. Start over again.
Okay. So when I first heard the story,
yes,
we were at a party, okay, a Christmas party.
Okay.
But I didn't get the whole story on the first time. Okay. People were just laughing about the chocolate covered cherries.
Right.
And I just kind of got it on the peripherals. Okay. Right.
All right.
So then we had another Christmas party that was coming and he was going to be there. And I had to do some games, right? And I bought candies for the games or whatever. And I saw chocolate-covered cherries.
Mm.
So you know what I did trying to be a nice guy?
You tried to give them to him.
I bought chocolate-covered cherries for him.
No.
Yes, I'm serious. And then I brought it again. And he looked at me. He was like, you're joking, right? And I was like,
that's a great joke.
I was like, no, I'm trying to be nice. I saw him and I thought about you.
Right. So I thought about you and your grandmother.
Yeah, that's it. So I brought it and he was like, I hate these things.
So did he realize? So actually, if I would have opened one, I'm like, oh, you think you're so funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or did he realize you didn't realize?
No, I didn't know the story that he didn't like them.
Yeah, but you were at the party.
I was.
So if I was him, I'd be thinking, Curcio's, what a dumb joke.
Yeah. So, yeah, but he wasn't offended and he wasn't
upset. Well, I know he wasn't offended. I wouldn't be offended, but I would think you were joking and in on the joke.
Right.
Did he realize you weren't in on the joke?
It wasn't until I told him that I didn't know that he didn't like them. I'm here thinking, oh man, he must miss the chocolate covered cherries from, you know, his wife's grandmother is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I'll be nice and I'll bring you some.
Yeah.
So when I told him that, he appreciated the gesture, but he was like, you doofus, you know, kind of situation. Yeah. So I don't like these things.
It was a joke wrapped within a joke.
That's it. That's exactly
within a joke.
How about that? Only happens live.
Wow. So yeah. Cause I would have thought it was a total joke. At summer camp, we do like this, you know, secret brother, secret sister among the staff members. And they always ask you to put in the things you like and then the things you don't like. And every year I put in, I don't like olives. Right. And one year, one person decided they were going to give me olives every week. as kind of a joke, as they call themselves the olive apologist or whatever. Like a can of olives every week. And I cannot stand olives. They make me gag. They're gross.
Oh, okay.
Right. They're terrible. We've talked about this before. They're made for olive oil, not for eating. Okay.
But you like olive oil.
Yeah, but olive oil doesn't taste like olives.
No, sure.
They're
sure,
done
because it's pressed and
they don't mature, those kind of things. Right. And anyways, gross, right? But they would give them to me every week. And then the next year, I put that again and someone decided that they wanted to carry on that joke.
Oh, I see.
Of
olive tradition.
Yeah. It's like, it's a secret brother or secret sister, secret sibling. Mm-hmm. Why do they have to be jerk siblings? Right.
So if you're listening,
I have two siblings that I grew up with that made fun of me and gave me things I didn't like all the time. I don't need that now.
There you go.
Right. Be a good sibling. The secret siblings are supposed to be the good siblings. Where do you have the ones that made fun of us and snuck things into our food we didn't like? Yeah. Whatever.
There you go. Your mom never did that to you?
What?
Snuck a food that you didn't like into your plate or whatever.
I mean, she put it on. She didn't try to sneak it in. She would just put it on and be like, yeah. that?
My mom would sneak his stuff.
Would tell me, I like that. And I would tell her, I have told you for years. And I would come home from college. I was an adult and my mom would put things on my plate. And I'd be like, Mom, I don't like that. Oh, really? Since when?
Since
I was five? I do not like that.
So my mom, she would try to sneak it in. And she would do it like if she made some kind of natural juice. And we didn't like.
So she didn't sneak it in because she just gave you that.
Right. She put it in the thing.
I'm just saying,
whatever.
Usually, if a mom is giving you a natural juice, it's not good. At least growing up, when my mom gave me a natural juice, I knew it wasn't good to begin with.
Well, I mean,
there was no sneaking.
Well, you didn't know it was in there, but.
I knew it wasn't good.
That's fair.
All right. Anyways, natural juice.
So let us know if you try to sneak something into your kids.
What did she try to sneak into your natural juice that was?
Well, she would do things like radishes, or she'd sneak in stuff like beets.
Beets are terrible. They taste like dirt.
Well, I mean.
Do you like beets?
Yeah, I can eat them now.
Don't they taste a little like dirt though?
Yeah.
So how do you like dirt?
It's good for you.
Okay, so you really, but you said you like beets.
Well, no, okay, so like is stronger than what I would use. There are certain foods I just eat because I know they're good for me, and if they're there, I will serve a little bit. And
there are other foods that are good for you too that you don't have to eat.
Sure,
those.
Sure, but if you're gonna eat the color of the rainbow, right, which they say is
strawberries. For a healthy diet,
yeah,
so I mean, strawberries,
but they're not the same as beets.
They're
beets
not. Have a more you're crimson right because they're good. You said the colors of the rainbow. So red, I'm replacing bad dirt red.
Well, crimson with good red. Oh, mercy. Well, the point is that beets are a vegetable. They're not a fruit. So there's also that.
All right. So radishes difference. Are a little better than beets.
Yeah, but the radishes are white on the inside. They're just red on the outside. So red. That doesn't count.
It didn't say fruit or veg. Anyways, go ahead.
Anyway, point is that let us know if you slip stuff into your kids' plates or drinks.
Or if you're the kid, if it's got snuck into yours.
Yeah. At the Verse on the Hill, that'd be a lot of fun.
We have people who listen to us who aren't parents, by the way.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, tell us a story of when something was snuck on your plate.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened.
My mom didn't try sneaking. She just said, here it is, eat it. That's what it was.
Well, I'm glad we went down the food conversation because this is really what I was going to talk about.
Oh, you have
today.
Another story?
Oh, yeah, I got a story.
Oh, was it.
No, sir. No.
Okay, hold on. One more thing about sneaking food or food.
Sure. Go ahead.
When you were sick, did your mom make any concoctions?
Always.
That were just the worst stuff in the world? What was it? What was the concoction?
She would mix. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, caldebro. Did you ever have that?
No.
Good for you. That was one thing I would have to take. And then another thing they would do is they would make a tea.
Okay.
That tea had onions, garlic, ginger, and
honey.
Yeah, they would add honey.
Honey.
Right. But I would OD on the honey because it just tasted terrible.
The honey and garlic and onion were the three things that I would taste. Because, my mom would
make
lemon. That.
And lemon.
And lemon. My mom would make that. Tea. Why would they call it a tea?
I don't know.
It was basically, that was the natural juice. That was the fruit, that was the smoothie, because that's basically what it is. It's not a tea.
They boiled it.
Oh man,
that's what my parents would do. They wouldn't blend it.
I don't remember mine boiled. Maybe they boiled it, but it's so long that stuff would make me gag. I don't know if this is a Caucasian thing.
Okay,
this tea.
Okay,
Caucasian? But I know a lot of I know a lot of Hispanics have had a similar tea: garlic, onion, honey,
lemon, and ginger.
Yeah, ginger, maybe ginger. Yeah, so gross, so gross.
Yeah, I don't know. So gross. Oh, and now they started adding like turmeric in it. And
oh yeah, because turmeric's good for you. It's an anti-inflammatory, of course.
Sure, sure, but they're just adding like stop.
They add whatever superfood they can think of.
Yeah, they're missing something green and all that, but whatever.
You know, I'm sure some Hispanic ladies put kale in there.
Kale.
Yeah.
That's the worst. Anyhow, I mean, I can eat it. Again, I'll eat kale because it's good for me, right? So there's only one food that chocolate, I know it's food, but that's like dessert, that's candy.
Yeah, that's I'm talking about like food. That's not real food.
So I mean food.
Yeah, yeah.
Vegetable. Mm-hmm. Then I'm just like, I will struggle to eat, even though it's good for me.
Uh-huh.
Okra.
I can eat it in the right. I can eat it fried.
I've had it fried and I still don't like it.
I can eat it fried.
Now I've had them pickled. No. I've had pickled okra and I could actually tolerate it a little bit.
Pickles is not. That's European people love the pickled stuff.
It was good. I'm not going to like say I want to have pickled okra, you know, all the time, every day kind of situation, but I will eat it if I know it's good for me.
Pickled is not good for you. Pickled is fermented grossness.
Well, you
can get it other ways, more natural ways than fermenting it.
Okay.
Fermentation is a symbol of sin in the Bible, which means we should not be eating pickled fermented things.
Well, you would say the same thing about yeast. How about the stuff we eat? Yeast represents sin too. So what are you going to do with that?
Well, yeah.
Anywho. Oh man.
Fermentation's bad.
Well, look. So we'll try to keep this one a little bit shorter just because you're heading into the new year.
All right, sorry. I'm hijacking this year.
No, you're good. We bantered for about 17 minutes. Anyway, all right. So here's the deal.
Okay.
We just go straight on the hill for this.
All right.
How do you feel?
I feel good.
About people.
I like people.
Who boycott things. Now get this. It was an article that I read, okay, because it's about boycotting, okay? Chick-fil-A. Familiar with Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, yeah. People try to boycott Chick-fil-A all the time.
Okay, well, Chick-fil-A
never works.
So, I don't know. So, non-Christians are the ones who tend to boycott Chick-fil-A, right? They don't open on Sundays because their religious beliefs and what have you. They're extremely profitable company, right? And even though they stand on that, which I think it's a great example for any Christian, if you're listening and you have a business, you know, follow what the Word of God says and God is going to bless you. I mean, I believe they're this is what they believe, and God is blessing them, right? So they're setting a great precedent for any other Christian who has their own business. Anyhow, not the point of the conversation. But Chick-fil-A hired a diversity and inclusion person not too long ago.
Oh, they went woke?
Apparently, because
that's
now...
That's what I've heard people say, that they've hired a diversity and inclusion, which means they've gone woke.
Okay, so if they've gone woke, all right, let's use your terminology. Now
it's not
Christians,
my terminology, it's someone else's.
Okay, sure. Now Christians... are starting to boycott Chick-fil-A.
Interesting.
Because they are trying to be more inclusive.
A certain sect of Christians have decided to boycott them.
Correct, to begin boycotting. So, how do you feel about that?
It's dumb.
Okay.
Plain and simple, it's dumb.
All right.
What's interesting here, I did pick up on the story a little while ago. I remember someone saying that the problem is the inclusionary diversity and inclusionary officer has a negative connotation to the right-leaning Christians, right? The right-leaning politically.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And they believe it's a left-leaning radical. Well, there's radical right and there's radical left. The leftists over here that like diversion and inclusion. just because they use those words doesn't mean it's going to go against your political system, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we need to be inclusive and diverse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's certain diverses that, you know, what does that mean to you is really what it comes down to. What is their modus operandi for using this diverse and inclusionary officer? Like, what are they, how are they trying to do it? Are they trying to get a little bit more thought into it? That can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can it be a bad thing? Sure. If you're doing something just for the sake of diversity, just for that, like, and you're going to exclude, like, if you're going to overcompensate, mm-hmm. like a lot of these things, there's an overcompensation, which I don't feel like is necessarily equality either, by the way.
Okay.
So let's use, for instance, this is getting, deep.
Okay. I figured it would happen.
The NFL, when they did the Rooney Rule thing.
Sure.
Right. That was to help diverse and inclusionary.
Create thing. Diversity, right, right. Supposedly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, while I do think it didn't necessarily work the way it wanted to, or what's the other one with the colleges? Affirmative action.
Yeah.
Right. Affirmative action. A good idea. And I do think some sort of policies were needed to help, you know, soften the soil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening is a lot of times that creates an atmosphere of, hey, maybe this person isn't the right person for the job, but it's the only candidate we have, so we have to fill it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel like that's good on any part, because what ends up happening, if that person fails, or if they don't do as good of a job, or let's say, they're not the right fit, what makes happen is it makes that policy seem like it's a bad policy, which it's not necessarily bad policy. It just can't be followed 100% of the time, because if that's your only candidate, but that candidate is not qualified, you're setting up the policy and that person and the whole system to fail.
Yeah.
Good right.
Point. Yeah.
And I think that causes a problem when you set up things that aren't necessarily looking at, well, 100% of the time, this isn't going to work. We need to make sure that there's wiggle room to use common sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So while I do believe in affirmative action to a point, I don't believe it should be the default necessarily policy. So a lot of times with these diversity and inclusionary officers, you need to make sure you're still hiring someone which fits within the ecosystem of your overall goals.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're a Christian company and they have Christian principles and that's what they want to operate by, you still need to hire someone who fits within that framework.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So some of these right-leaning Christians are scared because, now they're going to bring this person in or this person in, and it's going to take the company down this road that's not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's what they're scared of. You can still have diversity and inclusion while still keeping the foundations of your principles correct.
Right. Well, look, if you live in this world,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the United States,
mm-hmm.
you're going to face a diverse population. They're going to be among us, whether we like it or not.
Who's the they and among us? Well, just weird way to say that.
Not okay. Aliens. I'm just talking about.
They are among us.
Just saying.
You made it sound so ominous and weird.
Well, I'm just trying to say, not everyone
is going to think or
look,
be like us.
Exactly. Yeah. So with that thought process, you're understanding that they are a business and they want to remain in business,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to start to understand how you need to be a little bit more inclusive, right? Mm-hmm. And again, do you have to violate your principles? No, I don't believe that. I believe there is a way that we can coexist where we are still holding or upholding our principles and still be able to be a more inclusive entity,
right?
So with that idea, I also agree. You know, this is just being plain dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now granted, if you want to eat somewhere else, that's your choice.
They're not going to boycott for long because most of these people are addicted to that chicken.
It's so great, though. It's so good. So the idea, I know you're not a meat eater, but the point is I enjoy Chick-fil-A. And I'm saying I applaud them for being open. Now, to what degree of freedom they actually have to be more inclusive and help them embrace others, I don't know.
So I've actually been to the headquarters of Chick-fil-A.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it didn't seem that uninclusive. I mean, could there have been a little more color? Yes, but they had color.
Right.
And I'm also one of those that's, you know, I'm not a big fan of setting a quota for quota's sake, right?
Yeah.
And I'm also, you know, curious as to sometimes when we do, when we try to be diverse, we, like I said, we overcompensate. And are we doing, are we just getting the right person? And are we representing our community in a correct manner? Right.
Sure. You don't want to just willy-nilly plug somebody in just because they fulfill a quote. I get
I'll
that.
Use my race as an example. Let's say Chick-fil-A decides, well, we need to be more diverse. We need more Hispanics. Mm-hmm. And they put 50% Hispanics in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're more diverse, but are they representative? No.
Wait, because you mean of representative of the company
of the or population.
Of the rate? Okay.
Of the population. Because that's the whole point of being diverse, is representing more what America is, right? America isn't 50% Hispanics. So that would be unrepresentative. I mean, percentage-wise,
well,
it would.
Well, I mean, then, let me go down this. This is going in a direct, okay, this is what we do here on the Diversity on Hill podcast. Okay, so here's the thing. So for instance, here's where you're going, this is where my mind is going.
Sure.
So the LGBTQ community, uh-huh. right? Their percentage mm-hmm. on global population, if I'm not mistaken, I mm-hmm. think they say is about 5. It's growing,
right.
but it's about at 5%.
It depends, right? Yeah.
However, we do get a lot of that behavior, that mindset, you know, that lifestyle being presented.
Overrepresentation in the media.
That's where.
Yes.
So I'm just tracking. I'm trying to track with where you're going, and that's what I'm saying. I see you're coming from there.
I wasn't talking about them specifically, community specifically.
No, I get it. But the reason why I went there is because the article is pointing out that that's where the Christians are wanting to boycott. Is because they're saying that now Chick-fil-A isn't taking a strong stance against the LGBTQ community.
Right. And so here's the thing, is that some are thinking that. Some are thinking Black Lives Matter because mm-hmm. they're going to get African-Americans in there or Black people in there, and they're going to be thinking, oh, now this agenda is going to come in. Or some of them are thinking, there's so many ways that they're thinking this is going to go wrong on Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Right? Which is ridiculous to me.
The chicken is still going to be the chicken. Well, they're not going to change the recipe.
I mean, I do understand you. I would like companies to continue to stand on their beliefs if it's a solid belief, right? Now, obviously, some people aren't going to think that's a solid belief. I mean, it was only 5 or 6 years ago that the LGBTQ community was boycotting Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now we've gone full circle, and we don't even know what the inclusionary or diversity officer has been tasked.
And that is where I was going.
Yeah.
But then I want to take it. So I'm gonna pivot now.
Okay.
From this, because now I want to take it to our wheelhouse.
All of this has been in our wheelhouse, hasn't it?
No.
Awkward, yes. Awkward conversations about...
These are natural conversations.
Race,
what do you mean awkward?
Political stuff.
No. We're heading into New Year, baby. This is what we do here. All right.
This is what we do.
So
I'm now, about to find out what we do, folks.
I'm going to pull this from the world.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
And I'm going to bring it into our quote-unquote wheelhouse, right? And I say, not that it's been outside of our wheelhouse, but inside of our... career.
Can I say something before we go this direction?
Go ahead.
Because I know this is going to get serious now.
Has it been serious? This
I mean, sure, it's been serious. The term woke.
Okay.
I use that, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how it's used as a derogatory term towards the left when they think, oh, there's this new way of thinking. We need to do this agenda and... Mm-hmm. Right. We're woke. We're now awakened to the fact. Right. Mm-hmm. But on the right side as well, they have not all the extreme right has these conspiracy theories around their political things and around maybe vaccines or around these other things that they're actually being woke about, too.
Sure.
Have you not heard?
Yeah, like, but they use the term enlightened.
No, they use the, they've been using the term red pill, like a red pill moment.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that too.
The red pill.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. They use this woke as a derogatory term when they're being woke in their own way. Like they've been awoken. They're now awake to the conspiracies and the thing. I just think it's so funny.
Yeah. So this is where, right, I wanted to drive, you know, take it over here because this is classic.
This actually worked humans. Into your thing?
Yeah, yeah. Because this is classic humans, right? This is whenever a man or woman, just humans in general, are leading the charge or are involved in anything, it can get warped. It can get tainted. It can get misrepresented. It can be messed up. And because we're humans and we're sinful beings, and this is part of the ever lifelong challenge we're gonna have until Jesus comes and changes all of this, right? So it plays into it because we have people within our church. Okay, this is where I was saying we're bringing it to our wheelhouse.
Okay.
Who are so afraid of being more inclusive, particularly, now I'm not even going to go into the LGBTQ, you know, like that's just a whole nother level, right? I'm going to go to a more simplistic level. Mm-hmm. And again, the Georgia Cumberland Conference doesn't necessarily support or...
what he's about to say.
Right, or the Adventist denomination, just for the record. But here's the thing. They are scared of us now ordaining women.
Okay.
And having women have leadership positions within the church, right?
Okay.
And I'm here thinking, you're not necessarily boycotting the church, right? But they're strongly pushing back in trying to be more quote unquote inclusive, right? Because inclusion is just broader.
That's not just a Seventh Adventist church problem, by the way. There are other churches that
Sure. But again, I wanted to stay in our wheelhouse, right? I didn't want to go too far out just right here. So the thought is, you know, it baffles me, right? How we are so afraid of what we maybe don't fully understand, or we're afraid of change to the point that we're just like, oh my goodness, any change is going to be a negative change or is going to go against what I believe is right or true or whatever that is, right? And to me, it's just so like, do you not see where you're coming from and how you're operating? If we go back to that same conversation we had just last week, right, with Keith, and we're talking about how people have their own hermeneutical approach or interpretation of the Bible.
Sure.
Right. And then they're gonna go ahead and defend, because the truth is, because the Bible doesn't, I guess, directly say women should be leaders, right? However, they don't take the time to understand the time in which the Bible was written and what the dynamics were then. To me, it's just so interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, this is uncomfortable.
I wasn't trying to make you uncomfortable.
Well, and here's why it's uncomfortable. Because, so... on a certain level, I agree with you. There are certain issues that I believe, I would say more on the race and even some gender stuff that, you know, we need to be more pliable. Mm-hmm. However, the Bible is too, I can see how some people would feel uncomfortable with the women ordaining thing. Like okay. I can see biblically where they get it.
Okay.
And I can see biblically where it's ambiguous. Now, I have my own thoughts upon it that's more holistic about the Bible from beginning to the end.
Sure.
And that's why I'm comfortable with where we are as a denomination. But I do believe we need to have some of these conversations. And if someone feels uncomfortable, I do believe they need to stand on their beliefs first. Like, if that's what they're reading. And I understand the context of time and things, but... at the same time, it does get a little dicey because we can use that in a variety of doctrinal issues. Well, sure. I don't believe in this doctrine because you're not taking in consideration. You know, let's go there. LGBTQ.
Sure.
There's a lot of people who are saying, well, you don't understand the context. The context wasn't taking into consider monogamy and wasn't taking into consideration this and that. And to be honest with you, I don't agree in their contextual view. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so
I think the Bible is more black and white, though, when it comes to that. Well, argument, in my humble opinion,
that's just my opinion. Have met people who said, hey, when it comes to women being ordained or having authority over men in a teaching thing, they think the Bible is 100% clear. And there are some verses that bring some difficult conversations. Mm-hmm. Once again, what helps me is I take the Bible as its whole view, as the narrative that it says as a whole. Mm-hmm. I believe that creation, that's so important to Adventists, we need to take a hard look at that every time we take a look at one of these subjects.
Absolutely.
And that's why I can parse those two out, because some people say, well, if you believe that, well, then you can believe this, mm-hmm. right? You can say, well, the Bible's clear on LGBTQ, but do you know the context of the day? And the days have changed and God sure. changes. And so they'll use these things to maneuver. So I have at least in this particular one of women in ministry, it's a little harder for me to say, yeah, 100%. They need to be more comfortable with it. I do think we need to wrestle with these things.
Right. So yeah. so this is where I go, because I hear where you're coming from. Right. I am in full-blown support that women should be ordained, you know, and they should be leaders. Because again, when we get to that whole dynamic at the heart of hearts, mm-hmm. right? This is a power and authority thing. Mm-hmm. More than it is a religious thing. If we call a spade for what's at the core of this, it's really that pride of man, kind of say, a literal man, mm-hmm. right, that is going to impede them from wanting to head down this particular path. Though the verses that are used oftentimes are talking about a relationship or a dynamic, in a familial dynamic, in the home, more than, except for one verse where Paul is like, women shouldn't, you know, be talking to the church.
They shouldn't be teaching.
Right, right.
And being quiet.
And there was a whole deeper understanding to what was happening there, right? In that particular direct quote from Paul, right? So,
okay. So
with that, then, if you look at the dynamics that are surrounding that particular conversation that are utilized, and the texts that are utilized often are more in a familial setting, not necessarily in an institutional setting, but right?
To me, they're very similar, and that's why you need to go back to creation. The problem is, if we take them only within the context of that place, I don't think we still have a ton of wiggle room, to be honest with you, because there's not a lot of other verses speaking in contrary to those verses necessarily. And even, I think I've talked to you about my headship principle before privately, mm-hmm. that if we go back to creation, something changed at creation, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to get back to create what God intended man to be. And that's why I believe women in ministry is a fine thing, and I'm in support of it, because we're trying to get back to creation,
sure.
not back to this sinful world where man is, literal man, is the head or the power center.
Right.
Right. And I do believe there are some verses that can help combat that in scripture. I do believe that we need to get, God is trying to bring us back to his original covenant.
Sure. Sure.
His Adam and Eve covenant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I go.
I agree with you.
But those verses in there, it's a little harder for me to be like, oh yeah. Yeah. That's total context. It's hard for me to say that, because I don't know 100% if that's total context of that time. We know that that time was different, but right. it doesn't give, carte blanche for today.
I hear you. So yeah. So then I take that, because you also said earlier, right, yeah. that you can kind of take this and even with other,
yes.
like expand it into other issues, right?
Right.
So I'm still going to stay inside of the diversity and inclusion conversation, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then I go to this is a recent conversation that I had with a young person, mm-hmm. okay? They are in high school, mm-hmm. and they point blank just said, why does it appear that our church mm-hmm. is racist. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, please expound on this position. And then they brought up the whole concept of state and regional conferences that happens, you know, mm-hmm. all that. That's the clear, mm-hmm. open conversation, right, of what's happening. Yeah. And I'm making PJ so uncomfortable right now.
No, you're not making me uncomfortable. I didn't expect this to go, the New Year's to go so deep.
I know, it's a new year, let's man. Go. Let's go ahead and embrace it and run with it. Boom, I mean, it's coming. Running. It's not even there. But the point is this. And again, I said it was going to be shorter, and here we go. Keep
yeah, running. Here we go.
But
Chick-fil-A! Why did you do this to
you're
us?
You're evil. I'm boycotting you.
By the way,
because I don't eat chicken.
Should we eat lunch at Chick-fil-A?
I don't eat chicken. No, I'm boycotting.
You can get non-chicken there. Anyways, all right. So
come
the point
on.
Is this.
Really worth it? For non-chicken?
No, not for non-chicken.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so then I go to that same conversation, right? If we put women aside, Mm-hmm. Right? Let's take that conversation, put it aside.
Not literally, we don't put women aside.
No, of course not. I'm just saying for the conversation's sake, for the sake of the conversation. Anyhow, thank you for clarifying. So The point is, now let's just talk men.
In one sentence, he's all for you. In the next one, let's put him aside. So,
you know?
I'm just saying, there's some inconsistencies.
So there you go, right? And then we're just going to talk men. Like men. Yeah, men, yeah. Men, right?
Men.
Now, that conversation is a whole nother can, right? That we're not going to go down, right?
The racism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
Well, here's the thing. Why? Okay, let me let you finish.
No, go ahead.
No, let you finish. Okay. Let you finish.
Okay. So then I'm trying to say, even when it comes to that, there is no biblical support for us to be, well, not one in that sense, right?
Well, it says that all disciples is one as you were at one, yeah.
Right. So now what is holding back that inclusion, right, of us together, right? No. Again, we don't have the answer. So I'm not even trying to go
the
answer.
We kind of have an answer, but no, go ahead.
But what I'm trying to get at is that a lot of these things stem from me.
Yeah.
What I want, what I believe, and how it should be enforced and played out so then I can be a part of or supportive
agree with you 95%.
Right? Okay. And the conversation then that I'm trying to get at in this, as we start this new year, right, is an encouragement to sincerely question some of my
Chick-fil-A.
No, sure.
No.
Some of my own beliefs, where I stand.
Okay.
The things that influence my behavior, my decision-making process.
All right. I'm 100% on that one.
So as we start this new year, it's a challenge to say sincerely, open the word of God, seek the Lord in prayer, and really question some of the things that I've embraced as true. And say, what does God have to say about that?
Sure. And but here's the thing. When you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, because he does, you need to stand on what you believe in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I said 95%. Because when you said, you know, we make these decisions based upon me. So like, I'm going to disagree with someone on women in ministry. And my first thing is going to be like, well, you just want to be in power. Maybe 90 to 95% of the time that's true, but there are people who truly believe the word of God is spoken and is clear about that. And we need to make sure that we're not making it all about our beliefs and trying to put it on them.
Agreed.
Either.
And that's why I said we still got to treat them in love because light is still progressive. And like Keith pointed out last week.
Was that last week?
Yeah.
Man, seems like forever ago, but I blinked and
everyone, you know, God is working with everyone in a different in their space, where they are, right? And could God be leading somebody to that point? Maybe. We don't have to get them there.
He still may be leading you and I to that point,
and that's true, too. Right, right. So I'm saying, whatever it is, really take it to the Lord in prayer. See what the Holy Spirit is saying about it. And even if the next person doesn't agree, you still got to treat your brother and sister, your sibling, in love.
And I do think it's sometimes good to have the conversations to know where they're coming from.
Sure.
Because it may be totally from a humble place
that
they believe the Lord is speaking to them in this spot. And we've got to be open to see, is the Holy Spirit leading me that way? Have I been looking at this wrong my whole life too?
There you go.
We got to be humble enough to do that. Because, you know, once again, all my opinions are right, but they always haven't been right because I've changed my opinion.
Yes, we have.
And I'll probably change my opinion at some point again.
Yeah. So this is what I was trying to get us to, why I go back now to the original statement, your initial reaction when I told you about it, and you were like, that's dumb, right? And I'm saying, we can behave in a very dumb manner.
Okay, you're right. It's not dumb. I'm going to boycott Chick-fil-A now, thanks to you, except for the summer when their peach shakes are out. because then I'm back on board for peach shakes.
There you go.
But right now, peach shakes aren't there. So I am boycotting.
So you're boycotting them.
I am boycotting because they are not being inclusive enough to peach shakes.
There you go.
Their diversity in shakes is not good right now.
There you go.
And that's what the officer should be working on.
There you go.
By the way, that's semi-joke. They should be working on other diversity and inclusion things too. Please do not take that out of context. Do not snip that and put that on YouTube and say this is what he believes.
No. But again, the point is...
Unless it's about the peach shake.
Make sure you get that in context. I'm peeling back all the layers and just saying the point is we have to be able to coexist on this earth as we prepare for our earth made new.
Yeah.
And part of that is not always taking a combative stance to someone who doesn't see things the way that I see it.
Yeah, I think boycotts are still relatively dumb.
So let's continue to be loving with those around us, whether they agree or do not agree. And I'm not saying don't boycott, you know, like I agree, stand on your beliefs, but you can stand on your beliefs and tell the truth in love.
Yeah.
And I believe that I want you to really openly seek that truth from the Holy Spirit this year as you start 2024.
So is there a place for boycotts?
I would assume so.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a form of protest.
I mean, if the Seventh-day Adventist Church went away from the Seventh-day part of their church.
Oh, yeah, that's protest city for, at least for me. I don't want to
speak. Would you protest or would you just kind of...
Boycott.
Walk away.
Boycott.
Walk away?
That's what I said. Is there a place for boycott? Yes, I believe so. Anyways. But it's a form of protest.
Oh, man, what a wonderful way to start off this new year. Way to
bring
it.
There you go. There you go. Sorry, I wasn't trying to get too deep, but... Yeah.
45 minutes in to something that was supposed to be 30 minutes.
Oh, mercy, Lord.
That's why I was bantering so much at the beginning. If I knew it was going to be this, I would have stopped at the beginning and been like, all right, let's get into this thing. Let's go.
This is diversity on the hill. This is what we do.
Let's do it. Let's get heavy.
Anywho, but PJ, go ahead and pray for us as we start this new year.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a blessed year.
Yes.
Even if it was difficult, it was blessed because you are a part of it and Jesus is a part of our lives.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray as we start this new year that we will have the courage to stand for the things we believe in, but also have the courage to be led by you, to let your spirit change us when we make mistakes. Lord, help us to be brave, to have conversations, and to love our fellow man, because that's what you have asked us to do.
Amen.
And may we be a good representative of you. And Lord, we'd love it if we, at this point in time next year, we're doing this podcast from heaven.
Yeah.
So Lord, help us to do the things that might help expedite that. But in all that we do, may we glorify and honor you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So let us know again.
Oh, yeah.
The at theverseonthehill@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or on the IG at @theverseonthehill.
Who are you boycotting this year?
Sure. Who are you boycotting this year? Oh, man. Or maybe some of your New Year's resolutions. I don't know. We always talk about that, too.
Exactly. To boycott who?
There you go.
diversityonahill@gmail.com or the Instagrams, but you may have already said that.
I did. It's all right. Just go ahead and sign out.
This is, you have been listening to the Diversity on a Hill podcast, a diversity on a hill podcast.
You see.
Wow. Some people are going to boycott us. This is PJ and I am out.
And PK here. Happy New Year and many blessings.
Happy
next
New
time.
Year. I don't even know the words of that song.
I don't know what song you're trying to sing.
The New Year song.
Sure.
To all acquaintance.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
So, yeah, that song as we sign out.